The scripture from today is from Psalm 130 and can be found in page 6 of your bulletin. I cry out to you from the depths, O Lord. My Lord, listen to my voice. Let your ears pay close attention to my requests for mercy. If you kept track of sins, Lord, my Lord, who would stand a chance? But forgiveness is with you. That's why you are honored. I hope. Lord, my whole being hopes, and I wait for God's promise. My whole being waits for my Lord, more than the night watch waits for morning. Yes, more than the night watch waits for morning. Israel, wait for the Lord. Because faithful love is with the Lord. Because great redemption is with our God. He is the one who will redeem Israel from all its sin. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
So as we all know, Christmas is known as the season of giving, right? We could take an opportunity during the Christmas time to give gifts to our friends and our family. Part of what we do is our traditions. And as we think about the church, what is it that we as the church can give away as gifts this year, right? What can we give to the world during this season? That's what this series is about. Think about the gifts of hope, joy, peace, and love. Today, to think about what it means for us to give to the world hope, to be the embodiment of hope. If you didn't know it, hope is an expectation. It's a desire for something to come to fruition, for something to happen. We long for something to transpire. If most of you don't know, Margaret and I, we bought a house a couple of years ago, and on the east side of our house, we have a pathway. That pathway has been mud for a long time, and our dog seems to find it every time she goes outside and it's wet, and then she comes back in with these muddy little feet because she just loves running down the east side of the house. She likes going to the gate and barking at anybody that's on the other side of it, even though she's a small little beagle Boston Terrier and she can't see a soul, right? But she likes to bark at whoever's on the other side of it. Well, we thought we need to do something with this dirt path. Late last summer, my sister and my wife went up to Restore in North Kansas City to the Habitat Humanity up there. And Margaret was out in the back, and she found this pallet of 9x9 by about 1.5 inches thick pavers. And she thought, oh, those would be great, right? We could use those for the pathway. So she took me back up there, and we bought them. There's a pallet of 216 of these, right? Now, I don't have anything that I could haul those home in, and I would have had to make multiple trips in her Flex even to try to get them. So we went over to the Home Depot and rented one of their flatbed trucks, took it up there. They loaded it on the top of it, and we drove it home. And then 216 bricks later, I took the truck back to Home Depot. Right? They went in our garage. We set them down in our garage. Summer kind of finished, and then fall came, and fall finished, and winter came, and it's too cold to do anything outside during the winter anyway, right? Too snowy. So it came, and these bricks are still sitting in our garage. And then spring came for all 2 days that it was around, right? Did you remember that? We had 2 days of spring, and then summer came. And man, it was hot. Boom. It was just hot. So July came, and June came, and June and July and August all came. We thought maybe we would start around Memorial Day, but we had a wedding that weekend. I think Adam and Julia got married that weekend, so we were a little busy that weekend. So we put it off because of that. We didn't start Memorial Day. Didn't work during the hot of the summer. Late August comes, and we thought, maybe we should probably get started with this. Almost a year later, these bricks are sitting there. So we start in on this project. Well, the first thing that we needed to do was rototill up the path, because it had a slant to it, and we wanted a fairly level path to be in there. So we rototilled it up, moved all kinds of dirt, put in some edging, and then I had to go buy some more supplies, because you just don't put these pavers down on the dirt. You got to get some pea gravel. I had about 25 bags of gravel that I had to load out of my car and things like that. Got all of that and put that down. Leveled it all out. And then you have to have base sand. So you put down this sand and you kind of work it. And then you put down all of the paver stones. And then you work it some more and you keep doing this. But we decided when we wanted to do this project, we also thought we need to put an edge along the side of this as well. So we went shopping some more. And we went back to the ReStore and we found another pallet. But this was just the regular red clay paver bricks. So we bought it as well and brought it home on another flatbed truck from Home Depot. And we unloaded that, all 400 and something of them, right? Those went in the garage as well. So we're working this whole process. We get this path in place. And it looks really nice at the end of it. Then you have to put in some sand mix down in the edges of it so that it keeps them all kind of compact. And so you have to go and rent a machine that vibrates all that sand down into the middle of it. So we rented the machine as well. And we did that. This was all on Labor Day weekend. And believe it or not, by Monday evening, pretty close around 6 or so, we pretty well finished with the whole path. But then we thought, we've got this patio area right next to it. We need to do that as well. So guess what we did? We bought more materials. More sand, more gravel, more bricks, more of this, more of that. All of these kinds of things. And the next weekend, we tackled that as well. And before you know it, we get all said and done with everything and all of our trips to Menards and all these places. And now we have a beautiful little patio and a beautiful little walkway that's no longer mud. And our dog really likes it. And hopefully this coming spring we'll get to sit on the patio, because we haven't yet, right? But all the work and the hope of something that you expect and that you want to do, all of that got done, and then I went into 6 weeks of physical therapy. Because I wound up with a herniated disc in my neck from all of this work somehow. So when you think about it, all the things that you kind of hope and you dream about doing, you have an expectation that hopefully someday you'll get around to one of these kinds of things, that you'll see an end to something, that it'll come to its fruition. You hope because you have an expectation. You work together to accomplish a goal, right? Our patio, our pathway was what we envisioned it to be. Turned out maybe better than what we even thought it might be. We looked over it and we felt the kind of joy and the pride that you feel when you do something all on your own. Now that I'm starting to get the medical bills, I'm pretty sure I could have paid somebody less money to put it in than what it's going to cost me. But still, I have the satisfaction. Margaret and I have the satisfaction of doing this on our own. Our own hope realized because we got to participate in it. You think about the world around us. The world around us lives in expectation. It has some hopes as well, right? The world hopes that someday injustice will give way to the justice of God. The world hopes that someday what separates us will fall away and we will be united in God's kingdom. The world hopes that someday our poor stewardship of this creation will give way to the new heaven and the new earth. The world hopes around us. But it also hopes for clean, accessible water for all people. The world hopes that someday all will have food and shelter and warm clothing, that all day each of us will someday live in freedom and dignity. The world hopes for these kinds of things. I heard last week someone say that the promise of enlightenment was that the more knowledge we humans gained, the happier we would become as humanity. How do you think we've done at that so far? Right? Or that as more post-Christian we become and as more secular we become, maybe our secularism will bring us happiness as well. Has that panned out for us yet? No. I think the more and more that we get down the road, the farther and farther that we get down the road, we see that we humans, we aren't actually making the world any better. At least not on the grandest scale that we hope for, or that we believe God can deliver to us. People hope. And yet those hopes still go unfulfilled today. I'm going to say something I think is probably obvious or maybe simplistic, but I believe that God is the only agent in creation capable of delivering on the fullest hopes of humanity, on the fulfillment that all that God has promised us. And that we need to turn and have hope in God as God's people, and to deliver that to the world. I think David knew this. David says, out of the depths of my sins I cry to you, O God, right? In the middle of his sin and his despair, David looks to someone else, because David knows his own ingenuity has delivered a lot of shortcomings in his life. His ingenuity caused an innocent man to lose his life. His ingenuity caused a small child to die early in life. His ingenuity created a family dynamic where brother takes sister and another brother rebels and tries to take the throne. David's ingenuity created a lot of missteps, dashed a lot of hopes. David knew that. And he turns to God and says, out of the depths of my despair do I cry for you. Because David had hope that God would deliver him from himself, right? And that God could take him to a different place, a place where David could be used for God's glorious purposes. But David also knew that this message wasn't just for him, that the psalm was also, as it's written, for the people, to remind them that God was on their side as well. And where they're losing hope, where they find themselves in despair, if they remember that God is steadfast and faithful, that God's love is for them, that God will redeem them, that they can have hope in their future if they will look towards God and know that God will act faithfully on their behalf. Now, what's fascinating about this, though, as I think about the church, is that it's not just that God wants to deliver our hopes. I think God wants us to participate in the delivery of these hopes, especially in our world today. That God's inviting each and every one of us to be a part of the enactment of hope in our world. God's initiating it and wants to accomplish it, but God wants to use each one of us to be a part of bringing about that kingdom of hope for the world, to share a vision of hope with those that are around us. I read a story this week about a guy by the name of Charles Plum. Plum was a Vietnam combat pilot. He flew 75 missions over Vietnam. On his last mission, his plane was actually hit by a surface-to-air missile. He was able to eject from his plane and he parachuted safely to the ground. But he was behind enemy lines, which meant that he spent the next 6 years in a Vietnam POW camp. Now today, Plum travels around and he lectures on his experiences. But one day he said he and his wife were sitting at a restaurant. And they were having some lunch together and a man came up to him and said, "You're Plum. You used to fly off of the Kitty Hawk. You were shot down." And Plum looked at the man and he said, "Yeah, how did you know that?" And the guy looked at him and said, "I packed your parachute." "I guess it worked, didn't it?" To which Plum said, "Yeah, that's a good thing, because if it hadn't, I wouldn't be here today, right?" But Plum started thinking about this encounter with this man, and he thought it was interesting because he and this guy had never met, even though they served on the same aircraft carrier. Because officers and enlisted folk didn't mingle in those days. They each had their job. They each had their compartment. They each did their own thing, hoping that each and one of them would be able to accomplish what they were there to do. When the pilot goes up, he hopes he never has to use his parachute. But if he does, he hopes the person who packed it did it right. Amen? Amen. Pilot's life might depend upon it. When it comes to hope in this world, I think the nice thing is that we get to work alongside God to help rescue the world, to bring hope to the world. We all play a vital part, a role in bringing the gift of hope to God's creation, to make a better world and to bring it into existence, to be the tools that God uses to do so. We all know the iconic lines of Martin Luther King Jr.'s "I Have a Dream" speech, right? "One day, my children will be judged not by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character," right? "That one day, when the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners, they'll be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood." We know those iconic lines. There's one that we seldom read that's in his speech. He said this. He said, "This is the faith that I will go back to the South with. With this faith, we will be able to hew out of the mountain of despair a stone of hope. With this faith, we'll be able to transform the jangling discords of our nation into beautiful symphony of brotherhood. With this faith, we'll be able to work together, to pray together, to struggle together, to go to jail together, to stand up for freedom together, knowing that one day we will be free." To hew out of the mountain of despair a stone of hope. I think for such a time as this, God of heaven is inviting the church, each one of us, to be the hammer and the chisel that God uses to hew out of the mountain of despair a stone of hope in this world. If we'll yield to God, if we will let God use us to deliver the gift of hope to the world. So where are you at this morning? Do you hear God beckoning you, inviting you to be a part of this? To come along on this journey? Do you see a place where God might be calling you to go so that you might be one who gives the gift of hope this Christmas? Because in a time of turmoil, in a time of contention and strife in which we live, I think the world needs that, the gift of hope. And that we, the church, universal and the church here, God wants to use us for that very purpose, to give that gift away this year, the gift of hope. I want to invite you now to turn in your worship guides as we take a moment now to celebrate communion together. I would invite you, as you are able, to turn to page number 7, and let us stand together for our affirmation of faith.